Thank you, brother. All right. We just have to watch the news, if you can stand to watch the news anymore, to see how messed up things are. And, you know, it's just an amazing thing. But I was just looking at this verse. I saw it a little bit when we were over in Romania. Brother Darling said to come up with a morning devotional to read while we were on our way to Zalo. It was an hour and a half drive, and he wanted a little devotional on the way over there. So I just kind of put this together real quick, and then the more I look at it, there's just more to it. It's not a real in-depth sermon. Like, I mean, the teachings we've been getting on Sunday school and Wednesday nights here at church have really been good lately. I mean, not that it hasn't been before, but I mean, it's just really been just interesting. It just kind of, you know, I've come to church some nights really tired from being at work all day, and as many of you have, but it just gets your interest, and you're just like, wow, that's really good. This is really good stuff. And it's been a real blessing. And so this isn't going to be something like that. So you start nodding off right now or lay down in the pew. You know, I understand that stuff. But let's go ahead and read this scripture starting in verse 126. It is time for thee, O Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. Therefore, I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity to preach from your word. Lord, help my words to make sense. And Lord, I pray that you'd speak through me. This is your word. It's not mine. And Lord, just be with us as we gather around your word this morning in your name. Amen. You know, in Psalm 119, 162, a few verses over, it says, I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. Job 32, 12 says, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. And you can look around the auditorium this morning and realize that that may not be the case so much anymore. I speak on my own behalf. You know, how many of us desire the Word of God, to read the Word of God more than we eat? How many of us desire the Word of God? We get up in the morning like, a few more shovels full and I'm going to find a chest full of golden coins. How many of us look at it that way anymore? But we look at what we're going to look at this morning is why is society the way it is? I mean, it's obvious. I mean, a lot of it, but just looking at the word void. And we're going to, things made void. That's what I titled this thing. Things that have been made void in this world. And we look at the first thing, obviously, in verse 126, it says, they have made void thy law. The word of God means nothing to anybody anymore. There's very few groups of people like this anywhere, anymore that love the Word of God and teach the Word of God and have a desire to spread the Word of God and tell others about Christ. They've taken the Bible and they've eliminated it. It's become a fairy tale to them anymore. We see it, and without laws and without guidelines and rules in society, all we have is chaos and confusion. I mean, just think at where I work at the workhouse, if you were to take away all the rules, imagine what it would be like. It'd just be a mess. And that's basically what's going on in society today. Man is making up their own rules. They've taken the Bible and shoved it off to the side. And so that book it's old, it's archaic, it means nothing for us today. So that's why we have 300 plus versions of the Bible anymore. That's why they take a verse and just rip it out and, well, that isn't what I think it should say. And, you know, we see that the Word of God just made less and less. It doesn't mean anything to anybody's conscience anymore. They don't go to the Word of God for, counsel anymore or advice. They don't read it to let it run their lives. They don't have anything. They just make up their own rules anymore. So now we have protests. We have riots. Some of the big thing down in Ferguson. you know, the thing on 35W the other day. What in the world? Laying in the middle of a road. Why? Because I think it's right to do. Because I think it's right to do. Forget about the laws of society. Forget about traffic. Forget about, you know, the laws, the policemen on the streets trying to keep the streets safe from people who don't even know how to drive, let alone people laying in the road. I mean, a call came in the other day on the radio station. They were laying in the road looking at their iPods. And they're supposed to be playing Dead. That's how they're going to die. You know, you can have a light or the lurid glow on their face, you know. You know, it's just a big mess. You got these people walking down the streets saying it's not like we're going to walk around and kill all the black people in society. That's what their signs are saying. Black people deserve to live. No, you don't. Boom, 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 boom. You know, just like we're going to drive around with an automatic weapon and just mow them down, you know. Unbelievable. It's so stupid. I got an email this week. I think it was doctored, but it was a lady holding a sign that said something along the lines of, it's a sad world or something. My boy isn't even, I can't even, boy, I'm really confused. Something about, you know, my son isn't even safe anymore, even when he robs a store. You know, something, you know, that's what it is. It's just messed up. People are thinking, and that's, when you have a heart that's deceitful and desperately wicked above all things, what do you expect? When you eliminate the truth of the Word of God, what do you expect? You're going to have chaos and confusion. It says in 1 Corinthians 14:33, God's not the author of confusion. So that only leaves two aspects, man and Satan, which have combined for quite a few years now to really mess things up. We see it going on with the this vote they took this week about the transgender athletes. That's confusion. That's total confusion. I was born with male parts, but I'm a female. No, no, you're not. No, oh, you do what you want, honey. That's just fine. You go shower with the girls. Okay. You know what he wants? A bunch of perverts. It's an amazing thing. I could walk into work and say, I'm a female. How are they going to second guess me? I'm a female. Oh, no, you're not. Yes, I am. I want to use the women's restroom now. You know, it's messed up. It's confusion. That's because they've made void the law of God. It says male and female. It doesn't say there's no gray area. There's nothing in between. And we got a few exceptions. There's no exceptions in the Word of God. But when you take the Word of God and throw it out the door, you got man to make up his own mind, make up his own rules. So he got transgender. We had to go through this training at work, how to deal with transgender inmates. Really? Really? We had a he was a guy, came in and said he was a female, and they put him in the women's dorm. This is a couple months ago. And it was a mess. It is a mess. It's just a total mess. But now they decided if they come in and they have the male parts, they're going to put them in the male dorm and the women's. Well, yeah. Really? It took you that long to figure this out? Unbelievable. When you take the Word of God and you throw it out. And I met with the guy that headed this thing up, and I said, see, when you take away the Word of God, you have no final authority. You have nothing to go back on that gives you the answer. You don't have anything that you can take and not change it. You have nothing concrete to go back and make up your minds and make your decisions. That's why you have these transgender inmates. Because nobody took them alone when they were little and sat them down and said, look, you're a boy, you're not a girl. Start acting like it. You're a lady. You're not a guy. Start acting like it. Let your hair grow and start looking like a young lady. No, I'm going to be a guy. I'm going to be a police officer. Just because you have a low voice doesn't mean you're a guy. It's unbelievable some of the things we're seeing. You know, lesbianism, homosexuality, all this stuff. You know, it's all because they've eliminated the Word of God. That's what it goes back to. That's what it goes down to. They've made void the law of God. In the schools, back in the 60s, they eliminated the Bible and prayer from the schools, and now they're teaching Islam. Why is it okay to do that? Isn't that a belief in a religion? Why can't we bring our Bibles in and tell them the truth? No, because we got to get man's ideas in here. We got to get Islam. We got to get Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons, all the men's ideas in here. There's no. It's just total confusion and chaos. This kid that went down in the Sandy Hook Elementary thing, where he went in and mowed down all these 6 and 7 year old kids. Unbelievable. Why? Because he's, you know, I can only think that the parent thought, well, if I homeschool my kid, he's going to turn out right. I send my kid to a Christian school, they're going to turn out right. No, they need a little guidance and a little leadership to know where they're supposed to be in their lives. You're a young man. You can't leave them to themselves in front of an internet and think they're going to be fine. The internet's polluted. It's a bunch of garbage. How many of you get on the internet and you look at something, you're looking up something, and the devil's not stupid. See, that's the problem. Everybody thinks the devil's just an ignorant guy. Hey, that worked pretty good. You bring up something on the internet, like maybe you're going to check the score of a game, and you look it up on the internet, and over on the side, here's some half-dressed woman. Or something, the devil knows what tempts you. And he's going to put that over here. Oh, I'll click on that. Yeah, living, it's just polluted. It's confusion. It's total chaos. Because they've done away with the Word of God. God is not the author of confusion. It's not just out in the world, it's in the churches too. It's in the churches. How would you like to go to church and be an altar boy and be afraid of whether you're going to be molested that day or not? All these guys, and they get confused. Now, why would I want anything to do with a church that teaches me, come to church, do this, do that, do this, and oh, by the way, meet me in my office after the service. And then they get confused. Oh, this is right? I don't want any part of this. I don't want any part of any religious things. Hi, we're from Blessed Old Baptist Church. Just like to give you a gospel tract. No, I don't want anything to do with that. Why? Because some pervert priest, you know, took him in the back office and had his way with him, and now he doesn't want anything to do with it because he's total confused. He doesn't want anything to do with the law, or doesn't want anything to do with the Word of God, or what's right and what the truth is. It's messed up. This world is messed up. These churches are messed up. It's not just Catholic churches either. You got churches out there now that resemble more the local pub than they do a church, a place of worship. Imagine that. Amen. All right, turn around, give me a beer, and let's watch the game. Unbelievable. That place you mentioned up in Becker, wasn't it? They met in a bar? You mean in a bar? With non-smoking? You know, give me a break. That is so stupid. You've taken the Word of God and made it say what they want it to say so it fits what they believe, and then they can do whatever you want. What a deal. You're going to stand before God one day for that. And you're going to give an answer. It's just messed up. They take the words of the Bible and, well, a better rendering would be. And then the Greek and Hebrew thing. You know, if I had a God, if I was worshiping a God who couldn't even preserve a book in my language, I'd probably get a real God. And that's what's going on in the world today. Well, my Bible says something different. Well, my Bible says something else. Well, my Bible, that's confusion. That's of the devil. Why do I want to go to a church where nobody knows what the truth is? I said this before. The guy on the internet went to, what's the guy in California? Saddlebrook. Rick Warren. Rick Warren went to his church for 2 months, documented everything that happened while he was there. And the time he was there, they used 25 different Bibles to preach from. Why would you say, well, in this Bible it says this, and, well, this Bible doesn't agree with what I just said, so I'll go to this Bible to get the reference. And people are coming in there for answers. They're looking for the truth. Some of them are, anyways. Somebody may have been in his apartment just the night before thinking, I'm going to take my life because I have no answers, but I'll check out this God thing and go to church and see what's going on. And come out of there more confused than when they went in. Because they've done away with the law. They've made void the law of God. They've taken the Bible and thrown it out. When he walked in to Rick Warren's church the first Sunday, somebody walked up and said, "You must be visiting." And he said, "Well, why would you say that?" He said, "Because you're carrying a Bible." What's up with that? Then I don't know, there was a group, a rock and roll group called Mike and the Mechanics. The guitarist for Genesis broke off, made his own group, and came up with a song, "The Living Years." That was an invitational hymn at Rick Warren's church. Why? Well, anything goes when you get rid of the Bible. Anything can happen when you get rid of the Word of God. We moved over to Wisconsin here a few years ago. We've asked forgiveness. We moved over there in 2002, and we thought we'd found a church. We went down to Hudson, went to this guy's church. He was a good speaker, was using the King James Bible. We're like, all right, this is going to be good. We get there on a Wednesday night, and he's preaching on 1 Corinthians chapter 13. He goes, "Well, I like what the Revised Standard Version says here, and says love instead of charity." I said, "Well, I guess we're not going here." Heather was writing something down. She goes, "Why? What happened?" You know, I'm like, "Well, he just corrected the Bible. He just corrected God. Evidently, God's stupid and forgot something. God forgot to write that down correctly, so we got to help him out a little bit here. He doesn't know about the Greek and Hebrew, obviously. What a dumb God. What a stupid God. Why would you want that? All these guys are flying by the seat of their pants, running on their own opinions, running on their own ideas. I was doing that before I got saved. Why would I go to church and do the same thing? They have nothing more to offer people of the world than they had before they got saved. Nothing. You don't become like the world to win the world. You don't start serving drinks out in the hallway before the service. You don't have rock and roll. Jacob and I were taking music lessons over at Northwestern, and they had this group come in there. There was a church that was using their auditorium, Substance Church. Pastors mentioned them here. And they were in there, and they were giving their Christmas program. And I took Jake in there. I said, "Jake, you got to see this. I want you to see this." I told him before I went in there, I said, When I used to go to rock concerts, I said they'd have all the lights on in the place so you can find your seat and all this, and then right before the concert starts, they shut all the lights off, and they lead all the singers and the guitarists with a flashlight up to their place on the, you know, and they show them how to, you know, then they start the concert, all the lights come on and the fireworks and everything, and they start playing. So I bring them in, I said, "Now watch this," and they brought them in there and they're playing this, you know, contemporary Christian music, contemporary rock music. Well, it's just rock music. And they start playing this, and just before they start the service, the pastor comes on the screen and he goes, "What's up, Substance Church?" You know, and I'm just like, "Oh, shut up." You know, just ugh. And just before they started, the lights all went off. And here you see these flashlights leading the guitarists off to the side. I said, "You see that?" And then they started playing their soft lullabies, you know. And Jake goes, "Can we get out of here?" I said, "Yeah. But I just wanted you to see what they're saying as a church. I want you to see." I told him, I said, "I can take you to a rock concert tonight." I didn't. "I can take you to a rock concert tonight and you'd see exactly the same thing. Exactly the same thing. Empty music, empty message. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. You leave there, you're all hyped up. But then in a day or 2 years, it's gone. It's all hype. Nothing, 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 nothing. All right. Let's turn over. So they made void the law of God. Let's turn over to 2 Chronicles real quick. 2 Chronicles chapter 36. Just one last bullet under this here. 2 Chronicles 36, starting in verse 15, "And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by His messengers, rising up betimes and sending, because He had compassion on His people and on His dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God and despised His words and misused his prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people till there was no remedy. You stand on the street corners preaching. You hand out a tract on the road or on the street to a lady at Walmart and they mock you. They make fun of you. Or they just by their facial expressions, oh, okay. Or they yell at you on the street corner, hey, shut up and go home. Hey, keep it in the church. They can't stand it anymore. They can't stand to hear the truth. I can't help but think that when Jeff and Steve stand on the corner and start screaming at these guys and quoting scripture, that it doesn't prick their hearts. I don't want to hear that anymore. It's like King Agrippa, you know, why don't you come back at a later date and we'll talk about it. Almost you persuaded me, but I don't want it. I don't want it. I don't want to hear it. Shut up and go home. Just go home. You're doing it the wrong way. Really? And they just don't want to hear it anymore. Look at those, hey kids, look at those lunatics over there trying to tell you the truth. That's what they're saying. You stand before God one day and why didn't you let your kids, why didn't you answer your kids right? Why, they're not going to have an answer because they made void the law of God. Made void the law of God. All right, let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Society is a mess. But all we can do is just keep preaching the truth. We can just keep trying. Just keep trying. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 13. Do you not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple, and they which wait on the altar are partakers with the altar? Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. But I have used none of these things, neither have I written these things, that it should be so done unto me. For it were better for me to die than that any man should make my glorying void. My glorying void. Here's the Apostle Paul going around preaching the gospel to these people, telling them the truth, seeing people say. And up in verse 11 it says, if we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? He's just saying, look, we're going around, we're preaching the gospel. That's what God has told us to do. We go around and we preach the gospel, tell you the truth, you get saved, we start teaching you the Bible. Is it too much to ask for a meal? Is it too much to ask for maybe a little gas money to get us to the next destination? Is it too much to ask, if we're teaching you the spiritual things, to ask your carnal things? Is it too much? But he said, I would rather die than for people to look at me and say he's in it for the money. I'd rather die than to make my glory is to see you grow in the Lord, is to see people get saved and start growing in the Lord and moving forward for God. And if somebody says, I'm doing this because of the money or what I can get out of it, I'd rather die than get your stuff from you. I don't want your stuff if it's going to make my glorying void. It's what we have today, though, is they're making void the gospel. We see them, they made void the law, but they're making void the gospel. We have money-hungry preachers out there that go up and preach, and they'll go to some place because the salary's higher. They'll go and they'll preach somewhere because of the money they might get from preaching, instead of glorifying the Lord and just doing what they're called to do. We get people that are looking for fame and fortune. You got the Benny Hinns and you got the Joel Osteens. God forbid that Joel Osteen would get up and teach about hell and tell people if you die in your sins, you're going to burn forever in a place called hell. He'd lose his money. He'd lose his fame. He'd lose his fortune. Benny Hinn to get up and fake heal somebody and see them walk away and come back for the next meeting and get healed again. What would hell happen with him if he got up and told the truth? He'd lose his fame. He'd lose his Mercedes. He'd be done. He'd toast. But because these guys travel around and forget to tell the people about the truth of the Word of God, that they're sinners and Christ died 2,000 years ago on a cross of Calvary for them, and that if they don't accept His free gift of salvation, they're going to go to hell. Because they refuse that, they're turning people off to the gospel. Somebody that is a big follower of these people, the Benny Hinns of the world and all these, if they come into a church like this and hear the truth, oh, I don't want to hear that. That doesn't appeal to me. That doesn't appeal to my flesh. I like the entertainment value. More and more, it's just, we were up at, we did a, helping Brother Matt up in Hinckley. Which way is north? That way? We're helping Brother Matt up in Hinckley do a parade 2 years ago, and there was a float, a couple floats ahead of us. There were a church, a local church, Abundant Life Church. And they had a hay wagon, and they had a band up on there, a rock and roll band, and they were playing Free Ride, rock and roll song. Come on and take a free ride. This is what they're playing on their church float, and they were walking out, and Matt went up to him. You know, he's pretty shy, but Matt went up to him and said, "Hey, what's the theme of your float?" And he said, "Entertainment." Really? Do you ever give people the gospel or hand out tracts? And he said, "Oh, people get tired of hearing preaching." Well, evidently you do. And this guy was older. I mean, he was old like Brother Duggan. I mean, he was up in years. I bet he was in 60s or so, and he's leading this group. I mean, to think of this, a man in his 60s who's been around to see the changes, who's seen the truth, seen what people have done to the Word of God, and seeing what church has produced by turning away from the Word of God, you'd think he'd have enough sense to say, "Hey, maybe they need to hear the truth." But no, he turned and followed the crowd. I can only assume he didn't have the truth to begin with. What would happen in his church if he got rid of the rock band and went back to the hymns and started singing about praises to the Lord Jesus Christ? And started preaching the truth about God, he'd lose everybody because he's made void the gospel. Nobody wants to hear that anymore. He's filled them so much with the flesh. I'm going to go to a church that appeals to my flesh, not one that makes me feel rotten and bad inside. But you got these preachers out there, they've been around for years. You have the Swaggerts, you have the Bakers, you see what happened to them. It all comes out eventually. All these guys on TV, it's all theatrical. You know, they tell them what they want to hear and they make it theatrics. And I don't know, this one guy was on the TV, I was flipping channels the other day, and he was preaching about Ezekiel seeing the dry bones, and he was relating that God had brought Ezekiel forward to see the Holocaust and the dry bones in the concentration camps. And I'm like, doesn't sound right to me. But the people, and then he got into the service and started screaming and yelling, and everybody's like, you know, they have no idea what he's talking about. But what he's saying is true. "Hey, preacher, which Bible is true?" "Well, they're all kind of the same. All you have to do is basically listen to me and I'll tell you what's going on." "Okay, priest, tell me what's right. I'll just go home." No wonder they don't bring Bibles to church anymore. Everybody's confused. God's not the author of confusion. They made void the gospel. Nobody wants to hear the truth anymore. They had that lady on the radio thing at the state fair last year. The guy was talking about salvation through Jesus Christ. He was telling it like it was. And this girl came out of the crowd and she said, "No, that's not wrong. People don't want to hear that. That's offensive and it's going to turn people away." And he says, "Well, what do you think is the answer?" She said, "I'm a Christian, and all you need to do is stand there and live a good life, and people will come up to you and ask you what's different." No, they won't. Try it. I was sitting there saying, "Hey, why don't you challenge her? Why don't you go on the street corner, you hand out tracts and preach the word while she just stands there and see who gets the crowd. See who gets the most done." It's just a messed up world. They make void the gospel. These guys, you know, the things that we do wrong in our lives, we don't realize the effect. It doesn't just affect us. It affects others around us. We got people in fundamental circles today running off with secretaries, running off with 16-year-old girls, and people are leaving the churches by the thousands because they were looking to that guy. They weren't looking to the Word of God. They weren't founded in the Scriptures. They weren't founded and rooted in the Scriptures. They were looking to that guy, and when he fell, they left. That's it. I don't want anything more to do with that. The gospel was made void in their life. It was done. It's a shame that pastors don't... I mean, how high and mighty do you think you have to be to do something like that? Don't you ever think of the fallout? I mean, we do it in our own lives. We make bad decisions, and then we look back like, man, look at all the people I affected when I made that decision. I'll never be able to reach that person with the gospel now because of what I did. We've got to be careful, too, not to make void the gospel in our own lives. We're the only light in a certain area of this city. We're the only light at the job we work at for a certain group of people. We have to be careful what we do with the Word of God and how we live so we don't make void that gospel to those people. All right, let's turn over to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. So we made void the law, we made void the gospel. Familiar passage of Scripture. Isaiah 55, we'll start in verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth the bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Popular verse. You know, we always, in this church, handing out thousands of tracts a year. Thousands of tracts. Go out preaching the gospel, handing out tracts at the state fair and in parades and things like that. Thousands of tracts going out, the gospel. And we always, you hear the verse quoted quite a bit, my word shall not return void. That's true. That's very true. You see these people who take the chick tracts you hand out on the street and just chuck them in the garbage can or on the ground. Or you go downtown on Fridays and nickel it and you walk around afterwards and find tracks, you know, strewn about the sidewalks, you know, not many, but a few, just thrown on the ground. And that word is not going to return void. They're going to stand before God one day and say, well, I never knew. Well, you took what you could, you took the truth and threw it on the ground and stepped on it. You took the truth and shoved it in the trash can. We saw it in Romania. You hand out these, the John and Romans and the invitations by the thousands. And you get done at the end of the day and you look at the garbage can at the end of the street, at the street corner, and it's just packed. It was jammed full. They were sticking out of the trash can. And it just made me like, don't they realize what they're getting? Don't they realize they're taking eternity and throwing it in the trash? That's an amazing thing. A piece of paper. They'll take a coupon book to the state fair, but you hand them a book about eternity, eternal life. It's free. I don't want that garbage. I want a half-off foot-long hot dog. That's what I want. That's going to make me happy. Yeah, for about 10 minutes till you get indigestion. You know, unbelievable. It's just, you know, of course, we look at it from a different light, you know, from a Christian standpoint. You know, you look at it like, how could you... just throw it away. Why don't just stick it in your pocket? Take it home later and read it. Just take it home and put it in the drawer or something. Don't just throw it away. I don't want that trash. Well, if it was trash, I'd be throwing it away. You know, we can't, I guess, as Christians, we can't focus on that. To make the trip down to the state fair multiple times a year, that's an investment. That's an investment for eternity on your part and on my part to go down there. It's an investment. But people make void the investment. They take the tracks and they throw it away. They take the tracks and throw them on the ground. They take the tracks and they take it away from their kids and throw it in the trash. But that word's not, his word's not going to return void. They're still going to have to answer for that. It says that in John chapter 12, verse 48. It's my word that's going to judge you in the end. That very word that you're throwing in the trash is what you're going to be accountable before me one day when you stand before me in eternity at the great white throne. But they don't see it that way. Oh, this is such a hassle. Yeah, you know, I tell you, that's a hassle to take a piece of paper and stick it in your pocket. Oh, I get winded just thinking about it. I might get a paper cut. Then I'm going to have to sue your church. Unbelievable. Unbelievable, the thought process. But it just kind of it comes down from the top. You make void the law of God. The gospel's made void. Maybe they know somebody that, I know somebody that's a Christian, and this is what he did. And then they don't want anything to do with it. I don't want anything to do with it. But you're going to give an answer for yourself. What about us? What about us? How do we make void an investment? We have a pastor that spends hours a week reading his Bible. Hours studying the Bible, studying the Word of God, so he can give you the best that God has for you. He spends hours, I don't know if he does practicing or not. You know, some pastors say you need to practice in front of the mirror. You know, how are you going to do that? You know, offering plate. he spends hours, and you know this. He's read the Bible through over 100 times, and he always stands up here and says, "I read this, and I've never seen it before." Well, it's because we have a living Word, and he's in love with the Word of God. He's just amazed by it, and you can tell by the way when he preaches and teaches to us, he's invested many, many hours and hours to give us the truth. He doesn't get up here and just throw stuff out and hope it lands somewhere and somebody can get something out of it. He gives us all the truth. And how many times did one of us get up and pray before the service and say, pray that we take what we learned today and apply it to our lives? Do we? Or do we, by our lives, make void the Word of God that's presented to us on a regular basis? Do we say that, you know, we're going to apply it to our lives, but then we leave out the door and nothing changes? It's void. When we don't know if that change or that thing in our life is going to make a difference in somebody else's life, somebody that we may be witnessing to, somebody we may have been praying for years and years and years. You know, maybe they're looking for that change, but we make void the investment that a pastor puts in and the hours he puts into studying and the hours he puts into reading and he just preaches and it just falls to an empty chair. Goes right over the heads and falls to the ground. Do we make void the investment that the pastor's put in? The Word of God's not going to return void. I think he meant it. You know, we all choose to attend this church on a regular basis. Every week we come here, three services a week, and hear the Bible preached. His Word doesn't return void. We're going to be judged for the things that we hear from this pulpit. Are we taking it? Do we mean it? When I studied this out, it was just kind of hit me right between the eyes. Do I really mean it? Am I going to take, we go to the altar and pray, and then do we leave it all at the altar and even the prayer? Or do we take it and apply it to our lives? God says, whatever is said, you're going to be held accountable for. One other thing. God's word will not return void. I looked at this passage and I was like, we were talking with John after the service the other night, and I was like, John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, the Word was God, same was in the beginning with God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God sent the Word, Jesus Christ, down to this world. Lived the perfect life, 33 years, lived the perfect life. You know the story. But he was crucified, beaten beyond belief, put on a cross for our sins, and he came back to God the Father. And he didn't return void. He was full. He had the blood. He said, here's the sacrifice. I did it. I did exactly what you wanted me to do. And the word did not return void. God was right. My word will not return void. And Christ came back to heaven with the sacrifice, seated at the right hand of the Father. And God can look down and say, you have no excuse. You have no excuse not to live what is preached from this pulpit. You have no excuse because I have my son here who did it. He did it. He came back to me and it wasn't, and he's not void. He's full of redemption. He's full of salvation. He's full of everything possible for all of mankind to be saved. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. His word came to the earth and did not return void. What are we going to do with his word? Like I mentioned, every service that's preached here, the word is preached. A lot of you listen to tapes and sermons on the outside. A lot of you, most of you, if not all of you, read your Bible on a regular basis. What are you going to do with it? You just read it to read it? Or do we read it just to say we've done it? Or do we read it to get inspiration? Do we read it to help our lives to be better? Do we read it to say, God, that really spoke to me. Boy, I'd like to share that with somebody. It should make that change in my life. Not going to return void. We're going to be judged by the same word of God that the unsaved are. The same words. What are we going to do with it? Are we going to make an investment return void? Pastor spends the hours. God gave his only son. That was quite an investment. Quite an investment. What are we going to do with it? Can't make it void. All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day. Lord, this world is a mess. But Lord, we can't look at the world and have excuses. We as Christians need to look at the Word of God for guidance. And Lord, I just pray that we would be Christians of our Word, Christians of your Word. Pray that we would live it. Pray that we would mean it. Lord, help us just to take what we learn on a regular basis here and apply it to our lives. I just pray, Lord, now that you'd be with us the rest of the day. Lord, we get to your brother Darling here in a minute. Come up and preach your word again. We can let it fall to an empty seat or we can take it and use it. Make us that. Try to become more and more like you each and every day. Lord, be with us, I pray, as we read our Bibles and pray. And help us just to desire it. As gold. Desire it as a treasure. Desire it in our lives to change and make us better Christians. Lord, we can help some people in this messed up world to see the truth. And I pray that our desire would be more like you. In your name I pray. Amen.